Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Today I'm really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Jewel Katz. She is the author of a parenting book called Rena's Bollywood Dream, A Story of Sexual Abuse. She hopes this book will help parents, teachers, doctors, police officials, and therapists address the subject of sexual abuse in an easy and understand format. She wants this book to empower today and tomorrow's children. After all, they too should have a voice. But first, a little bit about Jewel Katz. Jewel is an award-winning writer. For 6 years, she penned a teen advice column for Young People's Press. Confidentially Yours appeared in dozens of newspapers via the Scripps-Howard News Service and Torstar Syndication Service. Her work on this column led her to win a $5,000 writing scholarship by women's publisher, Harlequin Enterprises Limited. She later earned a $15,000 scholarship from Global Television Network. She calls Toronto her home. Hi, Jewel.
Hi there.
Well, I'm so glad to be talking to you. This is a really important book. And
thank you.
I'm really glad that you have published it. So just for our listening audience, just give us a brief description of what this book is really about and what issues it covers.
Okay, well, Rena's Bollywood Dream, it's basically about a young girl named Rena who's 8 years old. She's Indian-American, and she's grown up in Chicago. Her dream is actually to become a Bollywood actress, and her parents frown on this idea. Both of her parents are actually doctors, and they want her to follow in their footsteps. And whenever Rena brings up the idea of dancing or performing, she's scolded. And her uncle, Uncle Jesse, is a new immigrant, and he actually comes to live in their household. Well, he realizes what Rena's dream is, and he decides to try to take advantage of it. And he puts together a game for them. And unfortunately, the game doesn't actually turn out to favor Rena. I won't spoil the story, but the game puts Rena in danger, and the results don't actually favor Uncle Jesse or Rena in the end. The book itself deals with sexual abuse and prevention and how a child can overcome those obstacles.
And now, to become a Bollywood star,
mm-hmm.
this is a big deal for a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And why is it? What's the fantasy?
Well, Bollywood, without a doubt, is a huge, huge industry. Bollywood itself, they produce about 1,000 films per year, and 14 million Indians go to the movies on a daily basis. Bollywood movies, they're so popular that there are American and Canadian movie theaters that have Indian movies playing every day exclusively there. So growing up, the whole industry you're bombarded with images and movies and songs. So it's almost natural that you'd want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But girls, especially, they're dissuaded from pursuing an acting career because it's kind of ironic because acting isn't seen as a respectable career choice because a lot of people think it's not talent that gets you the roles, but rather the casting couch.
So is this a cultural thing?
Most definitely.
Is it? And why so?
Well, there's, education plays a big role in the Indian American household,
mm-hmm.
and kids face a lot of pressure to achieve academically, and when you think of acting, you don't necessarily think of higher education that goes with it, and I think that's why parents, they frown upon it, because they don't think it's a traditional career. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And so traditional, I would assume that you mean, highly educated. As you say, the parents of this girl, the character in your book, they're doctors, and they want this child to follow in the footsteps, but her dreams are elsewhere. Now, so because of that, now, there are other careers, I imagine, too, and I imagine it's highly educated careers that the parents really are pushing these children
mm-hmm.
to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a lot of pressure on them.
Mm-hmm.
And so then does this create some identity issues with these Indo-American kids?
Oh, most definitely. Going back to the education part, I would say that Indian Americans, they hold education in high esteem. If you look at statistics alone, you know how Rena's parents are both doctors? Well, there are close to 35,000 Indian American doctors alone, and about 40% of all Indians have a master's or doctorate, which is like five times the national average. And Indian American kids, they do struggle with their identity because on one hand, they want to preserve their Indian culture, and on the other hand, America's their home. So naturally, they feel like they're being pushed and pulled in two different directions. It's kind of funny and ironic, but there's even a slang term for these kids, and it's ABCDs, and that basically stands for American-born confused Stacey's. I honestly think the key to overcoming all of this is to find a balance. I mean, it's okay to be an Indian and it's okay to be American. You don't have to pick one or the other.
Wow. And so is this more prominent in kids that are immigrants, or does it really matter if they're born here or if they came from India?
No, I don't think it matters at all. I think you could be born in the States or you could be a new immigrant in India and still face the same type of cultural identity issues, just in a different format.
So these kids then, are they usually in strict households where they don't have a say, but the expectation is so high that they have no other choice than become highly educated, let's say, in this case, a doctor?
They're generally not given a choice. Because following in the footsteps of their parents is kind of expected, and I actually talk about that in my book as well. There's actually a line from Rena's dad where when Rena's dancing, he says to her, you know, Rena, stop following the footsteps of a silly actress. You should be following the footsteps of your parents. Because parents and elderly people are really revered in the Indian culture, and it's considered disrespectful not to follow in the footsteps of your family or your ancestors.
So this causes a lot of friction, really, within the child, because here they are in their own home in a specific culture, but then when they go to school, they're integrated with so many other different cultures, and mainly American, really. And so I can see where this could really cause a lot of friction.
Yeah, most definitely.
And rebellion, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. So in the case of your book, then, and Rena, now the uncle, you said, came from India as a recent immigrant, and he then creates the space for Rena to be able to be the actress. And so I would imagine if this was reality, there would be then friction between the parents and also the uncle.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
And so how, you know, how does that usually then play out?
That's actually a tricky question because, see, in the case of Rena, she would listen to her uncle because he is elder to her, right? And when you're a child in an Indian household, you're basically taught that elders know best. But if the game had not turned out the way it did and her parents had found out, he would have gotten into trouble because he's actually junior to the parent. So there's kind of like a hierarchy between even adults. So the parents would have to listen to the grandmother, the nani, and then the parents come into power, and after the parents is the uncle, and after the uncle is Rena. So there's definitely a hierarchy of power. And basically from a very young age, you're told to respect your elders and to follow what they're saying because elders know best.
And so this is, you're talking about within the culture. So I'm assuming you're Indo-American yourself.
Canadian, yeah, Indo-Canadian.
You're Indo-Canadian.
Yeah.
And so are you writing this book then from some of your own experiences within the culture?
Well, sort of. I've personally never gone through sexual abuse, but over the years, I've heard from so many friends, family members, coworkers. I've heard stories, like, time and time again of sexual abuse cases. And I was actually taking a course at George Brown College here in Toronto, And I basically started writing the story then, and I workshopped it there because I felt like there wasn't a story about an Indian girl who goes through something like this, when, which is really sad considering so many girls are going through something like this, and there's no resource for them to go out and, you know, find out about. So that's why I wrote it. And as for the cultural issues, yeah, I personally did go through it myself as well.
Uh-huh.
In my family, there are not a lot of doctors, but there's actually a lot of lawyers.
Uh-huh.
And when I was growing up, it was like, oh, Jewel, you're such a good writer. You should use your skills to become a lawyer. And obviously, I didn't do that. I pursued a career in the arts. And initially, my parents didn't take it very seriously, but once I started having more success in this field, they started realizing that, yeah, in fact, this is a valuable career choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. So how is sexual abuse actually handled within the Indo-American, Indo-Canadian cultures?
It's still very much so a taboo topic. I know that when I first wrote the book and I sent it around to people to be critiqued, they were like, Jewel, you know, why are you writing about the subject like this? Are you crazy? And it wasn't like a backlash, but it was kind of like, you know, what am I doing talking about something like this? It happens, right? And even if you look at not just the Indo-Canadian culture, Indo-American culture, sexual abuse is happening in India too.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. We're speaking today with Jewel Camps. Sexual abuse of children crosses all cultures, not only the Indo-American or Indo-Canadian cultures. It's really important to be very cognizant that any child could be subject to sexual abuse, so please stay tuned as we continue this conversation. Jewel's book, Rena's Bollywood Dream, A Story About Sexual Abuse, is one effective way to open discussion in your home. Her website is jewelcamps.com.
Last night I was up looking at stats, and the UNICEF actually says that 69% of all Indian kids are victims of physical, mental, or emotional abuse, and 89% of abuse is committed by family members. It's almost shocking that there isn't enough resources out there documenting this.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
That's a high percentage.
Yeah, it is. It's also believed that 71% of abuse cases go unreported.
I think that happens in many cultures, and I'm not really sure, but a lot of times that parents don't know how to handle it. Sometimes they're embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, and it depends on the culture and how the imprints have been imprinted for generations. You don't talk about it.
Yeah, most definitely. Like, sexuality is very much so hidden in the Indian culture. When you watch Bollywood movies, you won't even see an actor and actress kissing. That's how taboo the topic is. Yeah, they have a lot of flirtation and there's dancing and, and suggestive stuff, but you will never actually see a heroine and a hero kiss or something like that. So it's embedded in the culture. There's no escaping it. But in time, I believe it's going to change. Because as I was saying last night, I was looking up some stats, and in 2001, the Indian Parliament, they were presented with a bill, and the bill basically lists all the crimes against children, and I can just read it off to you, and the bill talked about, you know, the sale, transfer of kids, sexual assault, sexual, physical, emotional abuse, commercial sexual exploitation, child pornography, grooming for sexual purpose, incest, corporal punishment, bullying, and economic exploitation. And India's basically taking a lot of steps to protect children now, and I think sex education in schools is helping in this regard. So hopefully, as in the future, things will change.
Wow, I sure hope so. Well, I'm glad that at least being looked at
is
a big
deal
for sure. You know, I wrote down the stats that you had just given me, and I was like, wow, those are really high.
I know.
Really?
I was surprised to learn that boys actually face a higher rate of abuse than girls.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder why that is.
Maybe it's because a lot of girls, they're too scared to speak up. Maybe
uh-huh.
girls are, they're taught to be, like, submissive from a young age. Like, both kids, like, both males and females are told not to question anything when they're young, and they're just supposed to be sit quietly. They're expected to listen and not give opinions. So I think maybe that's the reason why.
So I'm curious, Jill, for you as growing up and within a culture that had some of these restrictions, did you rebel?
I was very rebellious when I was young. I was always strong-headed, and I always had an opinion. And when I was young, I would always speak up. If I felt something was wrong, I used to get in trouble for it, mind you, but I was a little kid with a big mouth. If I thought something was wrong, I wasn't afraid to say it.
Uh-huh.
And my parents are very understanding in that sense, that they kind of learned to work with me
uh-huh.
and to let me express myself. So, yeah, I got lucky in that sense.
That's funny. So, going back to your book, you really stress that children know that, it will learn that sexual abuse is never, ever their fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to just expand that and how you really instill this into the child in your book.
I think the first step is talking. Talking is really, really important, because when you talk about something, it's out in the open.
Uh-huh.
And when Rina goes and tells her parents that something happened to her, the first thing they said to her is, you know, we'll believe you regardless of you having proof or not.
Uh-huh.
And by saying that to her, it's a form of reassurance.
Uh-huh.
And I think talking is also key to prevention.
Yeah.
So by telling her right away that it's not her fault, and, you know, it doesn't matter if she had proof or didn't have proof, she can always come back and tell them things, and she's not going to be reprimanded for it.
And that's so important, to have that open communication with the child, that when something doesn't feel right, that they do need to come and talk to the parent.
Yeah, if they're uncomfortable with the parent, they can always go talk to a guidance counselor, a teacher,
yes.
or the grandparents, or an aunt or uncle.
Neighbor.
An adult.
Yes.
Right?
Definitely. That's such an important thing. Now, this book is basically probably to be suggested to be read with an adult.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it could be really confusing for a child, and maybe even fear instilled, really.
Yeah.
And so I can see it also opening up a lot of conversation between the parent and the child.
Most definitely. I think sexual abuse itself is such a hard topic to talk about, but this book, if you were to use it, it's a good launching pad for a discussion.
Yeah.
I mean, you could read the book cover to cover and put it aside and then have a heart-to-heart with your child and speak to them.
For sure. So I know that it'll be parents or adults that will be listening to this, and I'd like you to just maybe give them some words of wisdom if maybe possibly they suspect that there has been sexual abuse, either incest or, you know, sexual abuse by a neighbor or whomever, and how to actually approach their child with this when they do suspect.
I think the first thing is to speak to the child privately. I think if you just bring it up at the dinner table in front of everybody, it could be very embarrassing for the child. So a private one-on-one conversation is important. I think the second thing to do is to not accuse the child, and not to say, you know, not to come out right away and say, did you do something, or did something happen right away? You can gradually bring up the topic and say, you know, I've been noticing that you've been acting a bit differently. Would you like to tell me something is going on? Did something happen that you feel I should know about? And then you can also mention how the body is something that it's a private thing, and someone should never ask to see parts that are covered by a bathing suit, and ask the child if someone has crossed over the line, and give the child time to speak, and most, like, listen. Mm-hmm. Listen to what your child is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit there and make judgments. Don't sit there and try to dictate what's right or wrong, but actually listen with an open heart and mind.
And in the event that the child does disclose that there has been sexual abuse, what would be that first step for the parent to take?
I think the first step for the parent to take is to call either Children's Aid Services or contact the local police department.
Mm-hmm. That's some really good words of advice, that's for sure. It's and certainly not hide it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely talk about it and get authorities involved.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. It's also important to know that although we are talking about Indo-American Indian or Indo-Canadian households and cultures, this topic does not only pertain to this particular culture.
Yeah.
This, every culture and everybody is subjected to some type of sexual abuse regardless of what culture it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important for our listeners to know too, and I really respect you that you chose a specific culture and one that you're familiar with to have this book available, but I know that this book is, you know, would be very beneficial for any other culture as well.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, for sure. And do you have anything else to say to our listening audience before we close off?
I just wanted to thank them for listening and taking the time to reach out and find out more about this important topic. And if they want to contact me for any reason, they can visit my website, which is www.jewelkats.com, and you'll find email there, and you can learn more about me and about my work and my book. And I would love to hear from readers, and I promise to respond.
Great. Well, I really appreciate it, Jewel. And there you go, listeners. This is such an important topic, and it's so important to have that open communication with your child and allow them that space and to be able to tell you as a parent or feel comfortable with another adult to expose any sexual abuse that they have had. I know that Jewel's book, Rena's Bollywood Dream, The Story About Sexual Abuse, is certainly one way of opening up a conversation with your child. And I encourage you again to check out Jewel's website. It's jewelkats.com. Think about getting this book for your child and reading it with her. Thank you again, Jewel. It's been a real pleasure. And thank you, listeners. This is Irene Watson with Inside Scoop Live. Bye for now.